We love him like family. Some people are overwhelmed at encountering him and get caught up in a rush of emotion. They blindly profess they will follow wherever he leads. Jesus likes to tell them, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Truly, he leads a nomadic life. As he and his followers pass through various villages, they must depend on the kindness of others to take them in. I'm sure it can be a little intimidating. Surely not for the faint of heart. But Jesus knows that whenever he is near my home, he is welcome. I take great pride in offering hospitality. I keep my home clean, well-stocked, and welcoming. My name can even mean the mistress or the lady, a feminine version of the master. I think it suits me well. I'll confess I maybe make the management of my home too much of a priority sometimes. It's gotten me into trouble before. One of the first times Jesus was visiting, I was preparing a bountiful banquet for him. He looked like he could use a little pampering. He and his disciples all looked a little haggard, maybe a little too tired, a little too thin. So I made it my goal to ensure that the time would be a time of refreshment for them all. While serving was my joy, I was also happy to see my brother Lazarus engaging in the group's discussion. When I noticed my younger sister Mary doing the same thing, I had a very different reaction. Practically speaking, I could always use Mary's help with the cooking and the cleaning, but there was something more to it. I'll be honest, by seeing Mary at Jesus' feet and listening to his words, she was acting the part of a disciple, something I'd never thought was appropriate for a woman to do. I knew Jesus was kind, and I was sure that he didn't want to shame her in front of the others, so I took charge. "Lord," I said in my best big sister voice, "don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her to help me." I knew Mary would not be happy with me, but it wouldn't be the first time. And I would far rather endure the wrath of my little sister than the wrath of our community, or maybe even Jesus himself. But Jesus wasn't thinking what I thought he was thinking. Instead of correcting Mary, he gently rebuked me. He told me that Mary had chosen what was better, and that it wouldn't be taken from her. I was left reeling, but I needed to hear those words. And I marvel at how Jesus' reaction to my attempt to take control was so different from his reaction to others he's encountered who've done the same thing. No scathing remarks for me, just my name, said twice with a hint of disappointment. And so back to the kitchen I went to enjoy my slice of humble pie while Mary digested her theological meal. Since then, I've tried to follow Mary's cue more. I still like to be a welcoming host, but I intentionally take time out of my routine of chores and checklists to listen to Jesus and engage him and his entourage in conversation. My siblings and I usually dread saying goodbye, but we know that we can trust Jesus will bring his crew back again before long. Except this time has been different. Lazarus picked up some sort of an illness a few weeks back. Mary and I didn't think much of it. We tended to our brother and told him to get his rest, sure that he would bounce back before long. But he didn't. He got worse. His cough moved into his chest and left him gasping for air. He lost his appetite and would barely endure it when I insisted he drink something. He slept more and more. Mary and I knew that if Jesus would just come for a visit, he would make Lazarus well. We've heard so many stories of the healings he's performed. He has driven out demons. He has loosed mute tongues. He has opened blind eyes. He has even commanded the lame to walk. If he healed his disciple Peter's mother-in-law of a fever, how much more eager would he be to heal a seriously ill dear friend? But he didn't come. And Lazarus continued his descent. We finally lost patience and sent word to Jesus. He had returned to the other Bethany, the Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John the Baptist carried out so much of his ministry. It's about 30 miles from here. A long walk, to be sure, but not an impossible feat. Mary and I held our breath and begged Lazarus to persevere. He fought to. In the last days, when he was in a perpetual fog, Mary and I sat with him as often as we could. We alternated between entreating the Lord for mercy and telling Lazarus that Jesus was on his way. He would smile weakly and share a fragment of memory here and there as his strength would allow. But in the end, he just couldn't wait any longer. That was 4 days ago, and I think I'm still in shock. Mary's eyes are unending rivers of tears, and I have yet to shed one. I feel like I have to be strong. There are so many arrangements to tend to. Maybe when our friends and family return home, perhaps then I'll allow myself to mourn. But here's something I'm not quite sure how to navigate. I received word this morning that Jesus and his followers are on their way to us now. I'm not sure what to say to him. I'm glad he's coming. It will be a comfort to us as we continue to mourn, but I don't know. What will I say? No time to think that through. I think I see him coming. Jesus, thank you for coming.
Martha.
I'm sorry to tell you, but Lazarus was taken by his illness.
He knows.
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But still I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.
Martha, your brother will rise again.
I know he will rise again on the resurrection in the last day.
I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live and will never die. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?
Yes. Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God who was to come into the world.
Did you hear that? She used all the same words that Peter said. You are the Christ, the Son of God.
And Jesus said to him in turn, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.
Your words reveal the depths of your faith. Martha, in the end, you will not be disappointed, I promise you. Where's your sister?
Forgive me, I have to let Mary know you're here.
Does strange things to a person.
She probably left to go mourn at Lazarus's tomb.
Should we call?
We did come to support her.
Yes, let's go to the tomb with her and support her there.
Jesus! You're here! But, Lord, why did you not come sooner? If you had been here, my brother would not have died.
Where have you laid him?
Come and see. We'll show you.
See how Jesus loved him? He weeps for him like a brother.
If he loved him, why didn't he come to heal him when he had a chance?
People say he has healed the lame and the blind. Surely he could have kept Lazarus from dying.
Hush now. Why cause Martha and Mary's pain to be worse by saying such things?
Remove the stone.
No, Lord. I don't think that's wise. Lazarus died 4 days ago. The smell will be awful if we open the tomb now.
Martha, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see God's glory? Thank you, Father, that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but it's because of these people standing here that I say this out loud, that they might believe that you sent me. Lazarus, come out!
And Lazarus was there, alive again, though wrapped in the cloths he had been buried in. Jesus told us to unbind him, and Mary and I could scarcely breathe until that we saw his face again. It was our brother Lazarus, the same we had always known. Of course, everyone who witnessed this miracle couldn't stop talking about it. How could they? A man who was dead 4 days, raised back to life? Who has ever heard of such a thing? Mary and I had hoped Jesus would cure Lazarus of his illness, but bringing him back to life from a solid death? We couldn't have even dreamed this was the miracle God had in mind for our brother. I know some of our friends who were with us that they have returned to Jerusalem and told the Pharisees everything that they have witnessed. Perhaps now, with eyewitness testimony, they will believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But can proud and stubborn hearts ever accept the truth in all its beauty?